Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I've got the words up here. Now, this is the first time in the last couple times I preached it was more than two or three words, okay? So you may have a little struggle here, okay? I'm just kidding. All right, I'm going to read the white, and you're going to read the yellow, and you're going to read with a lot of oomph, right? Okay, here we go. Rejoice, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Did you get that last line? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so we're going to, the last couple verses, let me just make this statement. Do you think that when he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that it's only about giving thanks? No. I think it's the three. It's the rejoicing always and praying without ceasing. And if you weren't here last week, we talked about how praying without ceasing, the only way you can do that is to invite God into your inner dialogue. And I saw in the faces of some, they didn't think they had an inner dialogue, okay? I don't believe you, right? We always have this inner dialogue going on, and so you invite God to be the third person in that dialogue, and he stays there. You never say amen. In Christianity, amen is, okay, Lord, I'm done praying, okay? And so we just keep that open, and we pray, and we rejoice, we honor God, and now we're coming to this place of giving thanks. And so it's what I call, sorry, I couldn't get my picture in, the constant dynamic trio. Now, I'm telling you, if you get these three things, rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances, you're going to live a great Christian life, right? The improvement is crazy. And you remember last week, I was telling you how I was on vacation, and I realized I had kind of let go of that inner dialogue. And so I'd be praying, several times a day, but I had forgot to include God in that dialogue. And so as soon as I did that, within a week and a half, I felt like I was a new Christian. That's the way it felt, because just having him in there, and then now giving thanks in all circumstances. Sometimes I find myself wondering when I forget what that really means is how can we thank God for everything? I mean, especially when it's a tragedy or a crisis or trials. Are we supposed to say, God, thank you so much for my dad dying? Doesn't quite make sense, does it? And so I want to really kind of fill this out a little bit for us and define what we're talking about here. And so the first thing is I want to define thanks or gratitude. And so in the Greek, the literal meaning is give good favor. Okay, in the old English, it was thank with a C rather than a K, and it meant good thought, it meant gratitude. In the old High German, dank, it was gratitude, kindly or grateful thoughts and expressions of gratitude. And when we look at how that's been defined, it's much more than just giving thanks. It's having a grateful heart, a grateful attitude, and I think the mistake is, in this whole process, is when we think about giving thanks or having a grateful heart or grateful attitude, we base it upon circumstances, right, instead of a state of mind. And so what happens to circumstances? Well, they all go south on us, right? And so you're thankful for a little bit, and it tends to go away. So the rejoicing, the praying without ceasing, and the thankful heart are all a state in which we live. And so we struggle thinking that we can actually give thanks for a disaster or pain or trials that we go through. And then it forces us to hope that one day all that will go away while we're still alive, right? Pretty soon, if we get spiritual enough and we become mature enough, hey, trials will go away. It's only for the weak. And have you been sucked into that fantasy in your Christian life, thinking, the ship's coming in and we won't have any more trials? When I think clearly about this, the reality is this. We will always have trials and tribulations in our life. Now, you probably didn't hear me. Okay, so let me just say that again. You will always have trials and tribulations in your life, no matter how spiritually mature you get. I'm sorry to break your heart. Okay? Paul is talking about being grateful while walking through our trials. Now, let me just prove that. Just go to the next slide. Okay? I want you to think about Christ. Okay? Do you think he was spiritually mature? Okay, I just didn't think there'd be much question about that. And where did he die? On a cross, right? And he was persecuted. He was called a drunkard, hanging with sinners, and people would give him a hard time, and he ends up dying on a cross. We look at Paul. Paul has a whole litany in 1 Corinthians about all the things that people have done, stoning him and beating him and imprisoned and all that kind of thing. And then we have Peter. What goes on with Peter kind of dies out in Acts, but we do know that from history that he was hung upside down on a cross when they killed him. Paul got his head lopped off, and they were spiritually mature. Okay, so I think from a biblical point of view, if we look at our heroes, it doesn't look so good. Right? We're going to go through those trials. Okay. All right. So turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read 1 through 5. I'm going to read through it, and you're going to be taking a look. Now, I hope this passage is familiar to you because we've all been through it on several occasions. But I'm telling you, this is so important to your Christian life to understand what Paul's saying here, okay? And it is the process of growth and maturity in Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, and I just want us to say this, when we have faith, does that provide justification? No. He's talking about Christ's faith, okay? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Through whom also we have access. Oh, there's our prayer, our praying without ceasing. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And rejoice. Oh, there's our rejoice. Rejoice always. In hope of the glory of God. Now, we've talked about the hope, our hope. Do you remember what our hope is? Can you yell it out? Yeah, the return of Christ. Christ coming back for us and taking us with him, okay? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory. We give thanks. It even means the word brag in a positive way. In tribulations. Now, do you brag in tribulations? I call up every once in a while, honey, you just can't believe this is so wonderful. I'm going through a hard time. What's wrong with that picture? And he says, we glory in tribulations, in trouble, in suffering, in persecution, knowing this is why we glory. And knowing that tribulation produces the outcome, the results is perseverance, endurance. Oh, man. The capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances is the translation. And perseverance, character. Attempt to learn genuinely something by examination. Now listen to this. Our character comes by when things come into our life, we put it to the test against the scripture and what God has told us, and if it's approved, we put it into our life. If it's not approved, we don't listen to it, right? And so as we test it all out and see, okay, yes, I want that in my life, and I'm going to take that into my life, we become good character. And don't you love to be around people with good character? You know, I love it when I'm up with somebody and we're having a conversation and they never judge people or put them down. Don't you love those kind of people? I want to hang with them forever. And then we have the other people, which aren't us, all of us, okay, but, you know, they say judgmental things and, you know, negative things about other people. And I can't take it for very long because it's hard on my soul. And that's what Paul's talking to him. We begin to grow and mature. And so let me get back to the scripture here. And so then character produces hope. That confidence expectation of what will happen, not might happen. The Bible always uses hope in the sense of it's true. We're just waiting. We're just waiting. And so now hope is not disappointed. It's not shamed or humiliated because the love of God has been poured out. You know, I want you to think about this for a minute. When we trust Christ as our Savior and we receive the Holy Spirit and He lives in us, we have a big problem, and that is we love everybody. And have you noticed that as a Christian? You love everybody, and in the line between love and hate is so thin we can't see it. Right? Because a lot of times the reason you hate is because you love them, but it's not working out right, or they've said something against you, or they've done something against you. But we have this thing where we want to love people, and it gets us into tribulations and trials in the process. Okay. So he says, because the love of God has been poured out by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so we can say this. In everything, give thanks, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, right? Why wouldn't we thank God for that? In everything, be grateful. I'm just going to use different words so we get it. In everything, be grateful, because we have this huge dose of love and we're allowed to love people. And, you know, in this church, we're all hugging each other, talking with each other, and it's always fun to come on Sunday. In everything, have gratitude, because He's coming to get us. Now, that's the one I really like, okay? And I think as we grow and we grow and we grow, we have more expectation and more expectation that Christ is coming for us. And there won't be any more tribulation. There won't be any more trials. There won't be any more futility. And so we have to foster and grow this grateful heart while going through these temptations. Okay. Now, let me give you an example of that. When I first kind of was working through that and discovering that Romans chapter 5 verse, this was early in our church life, and with a bunch of guys, we'd get together every Wednesday and pray for the church and pray for people. And at one point, we're talking about that, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, and I, with my partner, he and I were a prayer team together, we all of a sudden realized, man, when we go through these trials and tribulations, we're becoming mature. So we stood up to everybody and said, bring it on! Bring it on! And now, you know, when you say that, if I'm not saying that God brings on these trials, they work on their own, don't they? Yeah, they're fine. God just uses them. And so we said, bring it on, because what's the point? We're going to mature. We're going to grow. We're going to be able to endure. We're going to have character. So why wouldn't we tell God, bring it on, and teach us the lessons we need to learn? And boy, that's exactly what happened. And you know, I don't regret it. I love it, because I've gone through trials and tribulations. You have too. And that love grows, the hope grows. So God wants us to experience this continual grateful heart. And our hope does not disappoint, because it gives us that abundant love, and we know we have eternal life, right? Just think about it. The whole rest of the world doesn't have that. We have eternal life. And as a result, it's not too hard to have gratitude. And like I said, when He appears, it's all going to disappear, and we're going to be in a perfect love. And until then, every trial you go through, every hard time you go through, if you look at it and think, wait a minute, this is growing me, it's easier to walk right on through it instead of resist it. All right. So, do you have a grateful heart? I want you to just think about that for a few minutes. And while you're thinking about it, I want to talk about... I recall on several vacations, okay, and could you change to the next slide for me? This is one where Debbie and I went to Israel. Now, did I cry very much in Israel? Like, I cried almost every day. Okay, Every day, I'd walk around, I'd see what was had been in the Bible, and I'd start crying, and Debbie go, what's wrong with you? You know? And I'd say, well, I'm crying. And, you know, like last couple years, Debbie and I were excited to be able to go to Europe. And without fail, about the third day in, we'll be sitting at a table, eating lunch or something, and I'll start crying. And Debbie will just look at me, and she'll go, what's wrong? And I said, nothing's wrong. I can't believe how blessed we are. I can't believe that God's in our life. And you know, but because for me, vacation is get away from everything and reflect, right? And so I look at it and I think, man, just how God has crafted the world, and every place is a little bit different and beautiful. And yet he has come and died on a cross. And because of that, we're going to have eternal life. And it just overwhelms me every time. I just feel so blessed in gratitude towards God. And I think to myself, why do I deserve that? I didn't start out that way. Most of you know my testimony, and so I was not a real great guy when I started out till I came to Christ. And so if God spanked me for the rest of my life until I get to heaven, I think I deserve that, don't you, in some ways? But he doesn't. And so instead, I get to lead a church. I'm able to minister to people, and see if you can relate that in your own life. I get to teach God's word. Even I get to go out on the field and work with the unsaved, and it kind of re-wets me up for the outside world, and I'm able to share my faith. And then when I look at the scripture, I'm a child of God, and he declares me holy and without accusation, without blame. He's adopted me. He's made me his child. And the one I love in Ephesians chapter 1, he's accepted me as I am, not as what I should be, but what I am. He just loves me that way. And I know it, and I believe that 100%. And through the hard times, it helps me to grow more and more mature. Do you relate to that? Now, it's incredible. But even more so, I feel blessed by God through the hope that Jesus Christ is coming back, and that makes my life richer. Now, I want to stop here for a minute, and I want you to participate, so I'm coming down to the floor here, okay? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I'm going to give 2 minutes, 1 minute each. That's the limit, okay? And I want you to share with them what you're thankful for in your life. Go. Boy, you hate to cut that off, don't you? Feels so good to talk about our Thanksgiving. Huh? Oh, you're not done yet. Okay. All right. You want to go outside into the lobby? All right. So give me a couple things you're thankful for. Yell them out because I'm hard to hear.
Freedom to hear the word.
Oh, yeah, that's great, man. That's great. You get an A for the day. Yeah.
Family.
Others, huh?
Family,
yeah. Isn't it great how God set us up as a family so we know how he is?
My husband.
Your husband? Okay, good.
For you.
For me, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to hug you again. Yeah. Yeah.
Friends,
yeah. Friends.
Eternal hope.
Yeah, that's huge.
Animals.
Okay, all right. Well, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, here's what's interesting. In the last service, everybody gave me circumstantial, you know, little things that happened in life. And then you guys come in here and you're talking about a state of mind, right? Family, God, our hope, that kind of thing. Yeah. And so we know what we're thankful for. We just don't take the time to think about it and do it. And so we all stand at a crossroads. And I want you to think about this because I've kind of keyed into this over the years. We stand at a crossroad, and if you go to the left, we're going to get angry and bitter because we make the choice in a trial to be that way. If we go to the right, we maintain our grateful heart and we're thankful. Now, you know what people have done. Have you ever seen someone that's older that's a grump, right, and bitter and kind of puts you down and makes fun of you and that kind of thing. That's the guy that's always taking the left fork. And then there are those other people who are older that they're sweet and they're kind and they're giving and that kind of thing because they've always taken the right. Now listen, when you come to a fork in the road, you have a choice. It's two choices, not three, not four, not five, two choices. Am I going to be grateful no matter what the trial is? Or am I going to be angry and bitter and blaming and all those kind of things? And we've been on both, haven't we? Can we admit that? We've done both, okay. But I want you to think about this because every time it comes up, character takes us to the right, a lack of character takes us to the left. And we have a decision. Bitter, thankful. Okay, which one sounds better? Right? Have you seen those people on that crossroad? Yeah. Kind of breaks our heart. So let me give you an illustration from my life again, and I want you to follow in your life and think about this. I lead a church, and it's like herding cats. It is, right? I have no control. People always have problems with the church, which means me, right? Oh, yeah, I have a problem with Harvest. And they mean me, okay, usually. People don't show up when they're supposed to show up. They don't follow through with commitments when they've made a commitment. They don't do what they say they're going to do. They leave our church and don't say a word if they leave. So I have to make a choice when that happens. Am I going to be bitter or am I going to have gratitude? Bitter or gratitude? Anger or thanksgiving? Turn with me, if you have your Bibles with you, to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I just want to run through that. We just got a few seconds here. And it's up here if you don't have a Bible with you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble or appropriate, whatsoever things are right or just or right, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely or pleasing, whatsoever things are of good report, worthy of approval, if there is any virtue, outstanding goodness, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, ponder on these things. Is that what we usually do? No, we ponder usually on the negative things, right? And then try to see if we fix it, and God's saying, don't do that. Ponder on the positive. The things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. It's a simple choice, my friends. Are we going to develop that heart of gratitude, or are we going to develop that heart of anger? I choose gratefulness. What do you choose? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning because we look at that, and Lord, we are attempting to keep our hearts open and hear, and Lord, help us all to develop that heart. Help us all to develop a heart where we rejoice always, that we pray without stopping, and that we give thanks for the gratefulness because you've given us so much. And we stop and recognize that's the will, your will in our life. That's what the scripture says.